Okay, today's daf is Bav Metzia, daf Samech Zayin. We left off on daf Samech Vav Amid Beis. We are up to Rav Bar Sheva. First one in line is Idis. So Rav Bar Sheva have a masik bei Rav Kahana Zuzi. Rav Bar Sheva owed money to Rav Kahana. So Amar Lei, ilo parana lecha liyom ploni, gavi me hai chamra. And he said, look, if I don't pay you by a certain time, they designated a certain day, then you can collect from this wine. And he gave him a certain amount of wine that whose current value equaled the amount of the chov. So he said, if I don't pay you by a certain time, then this wine should go to pay the chov. So Rav Papa thought that when do we say asmachta lo kanya? And again, this is a situation of asmachta because obviously he doesn't want to give the wine. He thinks he's going to pay back before that time. The point is that he's trying to motivate himself to pay back the money, and he's trying to reassure the lender that he's going to get his money back. So he's telling him, look, I'm so confident you can get your money back. If I don't pay you back by a certain time, you can take this wine. So when do we say asmachta lo kanya? Maybe hani mili ba'ara delav luzvuni kaima. Maybe that's only when it comes to land which isn't meant to be sold. Meaning people generally try to keep their inheritance. They try to keep their steachuza. They always want to hold on to their land. People are never happy about having to sell real estate. Aval chamra kiven de luzvuni kai kizuzi dami. But when it comes to wine, since wine is meant to be sold and it's meant to change hands, so that's no different than money. That's like saying, if I don't pay you back by a certain time, I'll give you the money. By that time, I'll pay you back by that time, I promise. Right? It's no different when you give the wine, because the wine is going to have a status of money since it's meant to be sold. You're not going to say that the person really has no intention of giving the wine and he's just trying to motivate himself to pay the money. No, you would only say that by land, that a person has no intention of giving the land. And by saying, you can take the land if I don't give you the money on time, that's where he doesn't really want to give the land and he just intends to pay back the money. So I'm later funa brido vishul arf papa hachi armin mishmei de rabba kol di'i lo kani. Anytime the word di'i appears, then it's not going to be a good kinyan. Di'i meaning that yes, if I don't pay you back, then you get to keep this. It doesn't matter whether it's land, wine, or anything else, because that's an indication when you're saying if I don't pay you back, then you can have this item. Obviously, it's an item I'm not interested in parting with, I don't want to part with, and I'm only saying that I'm going to part with it because I think I'm going to pay back the money in time. So this does fit squarely into the sugya of asmachta. And as we said, asmachta has so many applications throughout all of Shas. It's a major, major topic. The most famous application, of course, is the situation of gambling, but it has tons of applications throughout all of Shas. Rav Zilberstein over here in his Sefer Chazuk Echemed, his application is about a shaila of a hanhala of a Talmud Torah, hanhala of a yeshiva that made a deal that anyone who scores a certain mark on a bechina of Mishnayis, on a mifchan for Mishnayis, is going to get a certain prize. And anyone who gets, you know, does a few less Mishnayis will get other prizes. They set up a whole prize system. So the question that they asked was, do they have to keep their promise? Or maybe that's a smachta. And if it's a smachta, they don't have to keep the promise. And he said, if you get this score, then you get this prize. Well, that's a smachta. If if you don't get the score, you don't get the prize. So that's not a total gemir stas on the kinyan. So he says that his answer is that he's so inyan asmachta. He says the whole idea of asmachta is that davar sheyesh bo tnai im tasa kach tekabel vim lav lo tekabel v'lachena maftiach lo samach daito. When I promise that if you do this, I'll give you something, it's because I'm thinking you're not really going to do it, and I don't really have a gemir stas that I want to give you that item. The Rama writes, lo mitri asmachta elek sheikra davar tola b'tanai. Aval misha mechayiv atzmo lechaveiro v'omer im yeh b'chayim yitin lo v'im lav yitin liyarshav zelo mikri asmachta. Meaning, but if there's no t'nai, it's something that I'm going to give up one way or the other, but if the guy's alive, I'll give it to him. If he's not alive, I'll give it to his children. That's not called asmachta, because either way, I'm going to have to give up the item, and there's clearly a gemir stas. So he says, v'im kein b'nyanenu sha'an halas ha-talmud Torah samcha daita lasez b'chol matzav ha-pras li'el rechad. I mean, the way they set up the system was not that if you score over 90, you get this. If you score, no, the way they set up the system is highest score gets X prize. Second highest score, second place winner gets another prize. So he says the way they set it up is that they're going to have to give it anyway. The only question is to who they're going to give it. The only question is which kid is going to win the prize. So that's not a smachta at all. And therefore it is, it's absolutely that they're chayav to give it. And then he points out, and anyway, he says, even if it were a smachta, there's a certain inyan of being mekayim a promise that you promise a child. That you don't want to teach children to lie. You're gonna make a promise to a kid, and then so it's a smachta. I'm sorry. I know I told you if you get over 90 on the test, I'm gonna buy you this prize. But it's a smachta, so I don't have to do it. So what are you teaching the kid? You're gonna teach a kid that he's allowed to lie. The kid's not gonna understand the sugya of a smachta and say, you know, come on, that doesn't work. That's a terrible mode of chinuch. It's just not, even things that might otherwise technically be mutter, when it comes to children, we have to be very careful about what kind of message it sends them. Reminds me very much of the tshuva we discussed last week. Rav Moshe has the tshuva about whether you can get kids to rat each other out. Should a rebbe ever tell a kid, look, I don't know who did this, but if you don't tell me who did it, I'm going to punish all of you. So someone better tell me who did it. So then you're basically forcing them to tell on each other. So Moshe says that's a despicable thing to do. It's probably mutter, it's for a toeles, it's for their own sake, so you can be mechanich them, etc. He says, yeah, but you're teaching kids to speak Lashon Hara about each other. And that's the message, that's the take-home message for them. So when it comes to dealing with children, we have to be even more sensitive. But anyway, that's, you know, there are thousands of applications of Asmachta. That was just Rav Zilberstein's applications for this stuff. Anyway, it says the Gemara weiter. Amar Rav Nachman, hashtad amar Rabbanan Asmachta lo kanya. Once we say that Asmachta is Lokanya, so what was our case of Asmachta? That if the loan doesn't get paid back within 3 years, so then you get to keep the land that you had as a mashkon. But that land was only in Asmachta, right? That was, I don't want to give up that land. So since Asmachta is Lokanya, we're going to paskin that Hadarara of Ahadri Piri, that the land goes back and the payrolls that he ate from the land also has to be paid back. So the member of the Sefer of Nachman Mechila Betal Slavia Mechila, does this mean to suggest that Rav Nachman holds that Mechila Betal, so when a person is mochel something mistakenly, that that's not a valid Mechila? Meaning the mocher over here certainly thought that the land is going to be nikna to the lokeach. And therefore, the lokeach was eating the peros with absolute mechila of the mocher. The mocher didn't realize that the sale was invalid. He didn't realize that there was anything wrong. So he's absolutely mochel the fact that the lokeach is being ochel the peros. The fact that the lokeach is eating the peros. It was a mechila b'taus, but apparently Rav Nachman holds mechila b'taus is not a good mechila. So asks the Gemara, really? Rav Nachman holds mechila b'taus is not a good mechila, and that's why you have to pay back the peros? Va'yitmar hamocher peros dekel l'chaveiro. If a person sells the fruit of his tree to his friend, so amrafuna ad shelo ba'u li'olam yachol lachzor bo. That until those fruits grow, let's have a tree that's going to grow fruits this year, but right now there's no fruits on the tree. So long as there are no fruits on the tree, I can still back out on the deal. Why? Because you can't be kona at davar shelo b'liolam. The fruits aren't there yet. So whatever kinyan you made isn't a valid form of kinyan. Misha ba'u liolam. But once the fruits are ready, ba'u liolam, ein yachol lachzor bo. Then it's too late to back out on the deal. But why? If you're going to say that he can't be called a davar shelo b'liolam, when did the kinyan happen? The kinyan happened before the fruits were on the tree. So just because fruits then grow, so therefore I can't back out? Why not? There was no kinyan over here. So says Rashi, Mishabo liolam einu yachol lachzor de kasavar, because the Gemara is making the assumption, Adam makna davar shelo b'liolam b'shas ha-mecher, she-ha-mecher chal l'kishayava liolam. That I can make a kinyan now on a davar shelo b'liolam, it's not going to work right now, but as soon as the item is b'liolam, then it's chal. And it's as if the kinyan happened right then. That's what we're assuming. It's not necessarily that that's the generally agreed upon opinion, but that's certainly what the Gemara is assuming over here. You can't be kona davar shelo b'liolam, but once the item is b'liolam, even though I did the kinyan when it was lo b'liolam, it's It's going to be chal as soon as the item is bali olam. So for Rav Nachman, but here's the key. Rav Nachman says, af mishabo li olam yachol lachzer bo. Even when it's bali olam, you can still be chozer. It still doesn't mean anything because you can't be makna davar shalom bali olam at all. Rav Nachman's a generally accepted opinion. And va'amr Rav Nachman, modina di shamit va'achil lo mafkinin minei. Rav Nachman says, I'll be moded to you that if I make a kinyan, if I sell to you with the fruits of my tree that don't exist yet, and then those fruits grow and you start eating them, that you don't have to pay me back for those fruits. Why not? Because I was mochel those fruits. I tried to sell you them. I thought the sale was good. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been involved in trying to sell it to you. I thought it was a valid form of sale. It happened to have not been because it's davar shelo bali olam, but I didn't know that. So I'm absolutely mochel those fruits. I wanted you to eat them. I was mochel them. I was a mechila b'taus. Still, but I was mochel them. So because I was mochel them, even though it was a mechila b'taus, we see it's a valid form of mechila. Big fat question mark, right? The Gemara said, how can Rav Nachman be the one to tell me that hadar arava hadri piri, that when the field goes through an asmachta, where asmachta lo kanya, the guy's going to have to return the fruits that he ate from that field, I was a mechila b'taus. So don't you see that apparently from hadar arava hadri piri, Rav Nachman holds a mechila b'taus is not a valid form of mechila. Yet from over here, modina d'isham v'achol lo mafkinin minei, it sounds like Rav Nachman holds a mechila b'taus is a valid form of mechila. So which is it? So answers the Gemara, big difference. Hasam zvini hacha alva'a. There's a big difference between the case of a sale and a case of a loan. When it comes to a case of a loan, where it's going to look like ribbis, so it looks like ribbis katsutza, so then we're going to make him return the money. And then we're going to say mechila v'talos is not a good mechila. But when it comes to a case of a sale where it doesn't smack of ribbis, where it doesn't look like ribbis, just looks like a sale, like in the case of davar shelo bali olam, then we're not going to make him return the money. Then we're going to say the mechila v'talos is a valid form of mechila. Just on the issue of davar shelo bali olam, Rav Asher Weiss has a very nice piece in Minchas Asher and Sefer Bereishis and Parshas Toldos, Sefer Bereishis Siman Lamed, where he quotes machlokas between the Rivash and the Shoel in the Rivash. It's Rivash and Shalos Chuvas. So the person who asks the Rivash the question quotes from a tour in the name of the Rush, so it's really Rivash and Rush, that says that even though a person can't be makna davar shelo bali olam, im nishba hamakna al mechiraso chalakinin. If the person who's being makna the davar shelo bali olam swears that he's absolutely gomer das, that he wants it, the kinyan is going to be chal. For instance, where's the raya? What's the greatest raya? So why is this a minchas asher and parshas told us of all places? Because it says, look at the deal between Esav and Yaakov. The kinyan on the bechora was a davar shelo bali olam. What did the bechora mean? The rights to the bechora? That's a davar shelo bali olam. But since Esav swore by Yomer Yaakov, he shavali kayom. Vayishavalo vayimachras b'charas al Yaakov. Right, the pasuk is saying because he swore, therefore the mechira is a valid mechira. That's the sheet of the Rush. The Rivash says no. Adding a shavua doesn't help to make a kinyan on davar shelo bali olam. And the Rivash writes lava Rush zal v'lo harav Rabbeinu Yaakov chasim yala. He says it can't be that the Rush nor the Torah ever said such a thing. Ve'eni roa litos begavri ravri kavasayu svarazu she'in la al mashat hismoch. And the Rivash is so strong about this. He says it can't be that such great gedolim like the Rush on the Torah would say such a svara that has absolutely no basis, that you can't rely on whatsoever. And gamma raya sheviu b'shma main lo ikr. And the raya that they bring from Yaakov and Esav, there's no basis for such a raya. L'vishay kodem adibur. That didn't have to be a halachic kinyan. This was before Matan Torah. It didn't have to be a kinyan that works according to our rules. Uman leimelo shloya de makna oz davar shelo bali olam. Who says before Matan Torah kinyan and davar shelo bali olam didn't work? After Matan Torah kinyan and davar shelo bali olam doesn't work. Maybe that's the answer over there. Vashvoi sa l'rav de milsa shloya ar esav bedavar. And the shvoi was just to add a little bit of strength so that Esav won't go crazy and Esav won't start complaining. He'll complain anyway, obviously, but you know, try to control Esav a little bit. But it was nothing about a davar shelo bali olam. So what's the yisod of the machlokes? So Rav Asher Weiss says beautifully, why can't you be makna davar shelo bali olam? What's the issue of a davar shlob aliyolam. So he says, it's machlokas achronim, what this svara is. Ha'imu chisaron be'etzem gidrei akinyin, te'ein kinyin chal al chefetz she'enu b'olam b'shas hakna. Is it that the kinyin has nothing to be chal on, because there's nothing here, it's a davar shlob aliyolam? Or maybe no. Maybe it's not that there's nothing for the kinyan to be chal on, but davi chisaron b'smichus das shel alokeach. The chisaron is in the das of the lokeach. Dikiman de'ein achefetz b'yolam l'samcha da'iti d'alokeach l'knoso. That since the item's not here, the lokeach doesn't really feel like he's getting anything. And he doesn't feel like he's getting anything, therefore he doesn't have full das to be kona the item. And therefore the kinyan's not chal. So he says, what's the nafkamina? It could be the nafkamina is in a case where the mocher takes a shvua. Meaning, what is the shvua effect? The shvua makes it so that it comforts the lokeach. It says, I know you don't see anything in front of you right now, but I'm swearing to you that I'm going to give you this item when it's b'li olam. So that gives a certain smichas das to the lokeach. So if it's an issue of smichas das, shvua would help. And that might be the sheet of the Rosh and the Tur, that the Shvua that Esav takes is going to help to make a Kinyan Davar Shlob Aliyolam to work. But if it's not a din in Smichas Das, if it's a din in that simply there's nothing for the Kinyan to be Chal on, so then Shvua is not going to help. There's still nothing here. There's nothing for the Kinyan to be Chal on. And that would be the sheet of the Rivash. So he has more nafkaminas and he develops the idea further. That's a Milchas Asher Bereish Siman Lamed. Okay, let's see the Gemara weiter. Amar Rava, Havi Yosimna Kamedra of Nachman, Ubay Laosve Ona'a. I was sitting in front of Rav Nachman when he was saying this din, when he said that he Shamit Va'achel, when Rav Nachman said this din, that when you sell a Davash Loba Liolam, if I sell the peros of my fruit that aren't here yet, and the buyer, after the fruit grows, starts eating them, that Rav Nachman said this din, that he doesn't have to pay for that, he won't have to pay back, you can't confiscate that from him. So Rav says, I was sitting in front of Rav Nachman when he said that din, ubaylu usvei ona'a, and I had a kasha on that din, from a case of ona'a. The Gemara will explain in a second exactly what the question was, but he said, I asked a question on that din of Rav Nachman, from a case of ona'a, va'odik chazisan islandis. And he heard what I said, and he responded by showing me a case of idleness that defends his psak halacha, that answers my question. Right? Va'odik Rashi says, Hishkiach bi, he paid attention to me. V'ra'ashayu b'dayti l'hashav al devarav. And he saw that I had that he had something to answer. So what was the question? What was the answer? He's just speaking in very vague terms over here. Good. We know Rav Nachman said this din, that if you're makna davar shlob aliyolam the peros that have not yet grown, and the guy takes the peros that we're not going to confiscate from them, from him, because kolzman that he hasn't been chozer, he's mochel on the achila. Kolzman that you haven't returned the tree, the seller is mochel on the achila, even though it was betalus. What was the question from Ona'a? So says the Gemara, Vahare Ona'a, the mechila betalus, he, loavi mechila. Isn't Ona'a, every case of Ona'a, mechila betalus? I mean, what happens? I overcharge you by double. I charge you a ton, or let's say by 1/6, to take a classic case of Ona'a. I overcharge you for an item. You don't realize you're being overcharged for the item, and that's why you buy it, right? Now, if had you known that you were being overcharged, you would not have been mochel. But you're mochel now because you think that you're not being overcharged. So isn't that a mechila betalus? Meaning you're mochel on the extra money because you think that the money is a fair price. So isn't that by definition the case of mechila betalus? And yet we don't assume that that works as a mechila. I still have to return it to you. Right, I got to give you back your extra money that you paid me. It's not an automatic mechila betalus. So isn't that a clear raya that mechila betalus does not work? So va'odik chazis and islandis. So how did he respond? He said, no, look at a case of islandis where you'll see mechila betalus does work. Why? What about an islandis? Hare islandis to mechila betalus he, vavi mechila. By an islandis, she is mochel, the money that goes to the husband, and yet it is considered a good mechila, meaning the money she brings into the marriage that goes to the husband, she's mochel to the husband. Why is it pita'us? Because the marriage is a ta'us. Meaning the guy doesn't realize his wife is an islandess. An islandess is a girl who never physically matures. So by the age of 20, they could tell that she hasn't physically matured at all, so they know that she's an islandess, that she's never going to physically mature, and therefore the marriage was a mekach ta'us. Right, so even though it was a mechila b'taus, she was mochel based on the taus, still the husband gets to keep the money. So you see, mechila b'taus does work. How do we know that? Where do we see that the husband gets the rights to tnan? Because we have a Mishnah, ha-mema'enes, vashniyavah ha-ilenes, a girl who's a mema'enes. Mema'enes means that the midah, right, so a father's allowed to give a daughter over for a kiddushin when she's a katana, but if the father's not alive, so the midrabanan, the mother and the brother, can give her over for marriage when she's a katana. But because that's not a Kiddushin Daraisa, it's only Kiddushin Drabanan, when the girl becomes 12 years old, she's able to be Mima Enes. She's able to say, I'm not interested, I want to walk away from this marriage. So Mima Enes, or a Shnia is someone who's not Arayos Midaraisa, but is one step removed from it, and the Rabbanan therefore made a din that you're not allowed to marry such a person. A grandmother is Shnios Ta'arayos. Right? People you're not allowed to marry, Midrabbanan. So Mema'enes, a Shnia, and Va'ailanis, Einlan Lo Ksuba, they don't receive a Ksuba payment, Velo Peros, nor do they get Peros, and Velo Mizonos, nor do they receive Mizonos, and velo blaos, nor did they receive the blaos. What are the peros and the blaos? So says Rashi, velo peros, nechasim shenafla b'yerusha, acha shenises, tiknu chacham shabalo chal peros. Right? Velo tiknu tachtean, shem nishvas chayav liftosa. Velo peros doesn't mean that they don't receive peros. Peros, what peros means is that a girl gets married, and then she receives yerusha, the chacham made a takana that the husband gets to eat the peros of that land. And in exchange for that, the husband is going to be chayv to be poda her if she were to get captured. So velo peros means the husband doesn't have his chayv toward her. He gets the peros, but he doesn't have to be poda her if she gets captured. Meaning he could be poda her from her own account, from her own money, but he's not the one that has to put up the money to be poda her. There's always a mitzvah pidyon shvuyim, but he doesn't have an achrayus more than anybody else to put up his own money for the pidyon shvuyim. These girls, these islanders, these mema'enes, the shnios, afal pisha elim takanas peros, shem nishvus leiftena delo karina ba va'osfinach le'insu, va'filuach le'sheketetze le'yaksela peros sha'achal. And nevertheless, when they do get divorced, the husband doesn't have to return the peros that he ate. Well, why not? You would think that you should have to return the peros that he ate. She didn't get anything in return for those peros. The whole thing was a mistake. She was only mochel the peros b'taos because she thought she was really married to him and he would have obligations toward her. But he doesn't have obligations toward her. Yet he does not have to return the peros that he ate. What are blaos, says Rashi? Blaos are echnisula begadim b'nudunyasa, that she brings in begadim as part of her dowry. Afilu yesh meyem kayamim lo yachzer blaosehen. Even if some are still around, if the clothing is still there, you don't have to return them. Alma mechilas achilas peros afal pisha b'taos machlalo mechilahi. So even though she was mochel these items b'taos, she thought she was going to get something in return for them. But since the whole thing was a mistake, she does not get anything in return for them. So it was a mechila b'taos. But still, you see, it's a valid form of mechila. So that was the response. That look at the case of idleness. You see, by the case of idleness, that mechila b'taos is shma mechila. That it is a good mechila. So don't bring me a raya from ona'a that mechila b'taos is not a good mechila. I'll bring you a raya right back from idleness that mechila b'taos is a good mechila. But says the Gemara v'lohi, the whole conversation is ridiculous. Lo ona havyatiyufte v'lo islandus maseyele. There's no kashan Rav Nachman from ona'a, and there's no answer from islandus. Both of those cases are different than the typical case that Rav Nachman was discussing of a mechira on a davar shlo b'liyolam, where the guy is ochel the peros from that tree. Why? Why are both of those cases fundamentally different? Lo ona'a tiyufte, ona'a is not going to be a kashan Rav Nachman. You can't call ona'a a case of mechila b'taos. The guy wasn't mochel the extra money when you overcharge him. He didn't know that he was overcharged. That's not called mechila. Mechila is, I understand that you're taking X and I'm mochel it. But there's no mechila if I don't think you're taking anything from me. I thought that when I paid you, I was paying you fair market value. So that's not even a situation of mechila betalus. So don't bring me a raya that mechila betalus is not a good mechila from there. No, there was no mechila. He never got a mechila out because he never even had the basic knowledge necessary to make a mechila happen. Velo islandus misayele, nor do we have a raya from the case of an islandus, denichala, the tepechal ashmadi ishus. The islandus is more than happy to let him have the peros. Meaning, why is she more than happy to let him have the peros? Because by letting him have the peros, that's a way of cementing the deal. That's a way of showing that she was really married to this guy. You see, he even got to eat her peros. And she wants that people should think that she had a real marriage. Because then people won't realize that she's never going to physically mature and she's essentially damaged goods. She wants people to see that she's capable of a real marriage. It's a status thing for her to at least have people think that she's able to have a real marriage. So the Alanis is very happy to have the shame Ishus go. So it's not a Mechila Betalos where now that she finds out she's an Alanis, she feels bad that she gave him the payros, that she let him have those payros, and it was all a mistake. No, Adaraba, she's even happier that he got the payros. She wants to have that relationship, the shame of that relationship. Says Maravaitra, a woman said to a certain man, Zil Zavanli Arami Krevai. A woman says to a man, I'm making you my shliach, I want you to go buy me land from a certain relative of mine. Azal Zavanla, meaning I don't want to get involved in the details of the business with this relative. Can you go and do my shlichus, buy this land from my relative? Azal Zavanla, the shliach went and bought the land. Amar Lay, so the seller, the mocher, says to the shliach, here's what I want to be included as a tanai of the deal. I'm selling you this land, but I want you to make a tanai that if I ever have the money again, I want you to sell it back to me. I want the rights to be able to buy it back, to essentially be poda my land. I want that as part of the sale agreement, that if I ever come up with the money, I should be able to buy the land back. So Amalei, the shliach says, look, at v'nav la'achi, you and your relatives, why don't you work it out? Meaning, I'm sure you'll work something out. I don't need to deal with you and make it as part of a shtar or anything like that. What's navla? So Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, at v'navla achi, atavihi krov matem. You and her, the woman who sent me, are relatives. V'tisratzu b'nechem, I'm sure you'll work something out. Says Rashi, v'navla lashon arami, ben b'zachar, ben b'nekeva. K'sharotzu lomar atavihu, o atavihi, kachrisi b'tshuvas agaonim. Navla is another way of saying he or she, he slash she. Whenever you want to refer to a person without saying in a masculine or feminine form, you just refer to them as the person, so you use the term navla in Aramaic. Problem with that is that we don't find this term anywhere else in Shas, really. You never find this word. Navla means he slash she. Where does that come up, right? Rashi doesn't give another example. He doesn't say, you know, could metzinu be, because I don't believe it comes up anywhere in Shas. So so it's a little bit difficult. So Rashi says, Vani Omer Shezeh Shema. Rashi says, no, it's not a word. It's a name. It's the name of the woman that sent the shliach to go buy the field. So the shliach says to the mocher, look, at the Navla, you and Navla, the person's name, are relatives. I'm sure you'll work it out. So what's he saying when he's saying at v'navla achi? Your relatives, I'm sure you'll work it out, and therefore, yes, you have a deal that if you have the money, if you ever come up with the money, you're going to be able to, we guarantee you're going to be able to buy your field back, or I'm sure you'll work it out, I'm not making any deals with you, and if you don't work it out with her, then I'm not interested, this is not part of the deal. So says Gemara, Amar Rabba Arfuna, kol at v'navla achi, Amar sam chadayte v'lo gamar makni. Right, that whenever there's, whenever you say, so you assume that the seller thought that we had a deal, that if I ever have the money back, I'm going to be able to buy it, and therefore he's not gomer or makne. He doesn't have full gomer stas to be makne in the field, because he's still thinking in his mind, you're right, I'm relatives with Navla, and therefore if I ever have the money, I'll always be able to buy it back. So he doesn't have full gemir stas that he's actually being makna in the field. If there's still strings attached, he still thinks he's going to be able to keep part of it. Arahadra piri mai. So good. So the land has to be given back. What about the peros that Navla ate from the land? Right? What about the peros of that land? So says Gemara, ribis ktsutza havu. That's called ribis ktsutza v'yotzen b'deyanin, and therefore it should be yotzen b'deyanin, or maybe no. Odilma kiavak ribis havu v'yotzen. Do you assume this is called ribis ktsutza, a predetermined ribis price? Or do you say, no, this is more like avak ribis. It's not a predetermined amount. It's something that's much more fluid. And as avak ribis, it's not going to be yotzi b'dayanim. Some Rabbi Rafuna mistaver ki avak ribis haveni as b'dayanim. Much more mistaver that it's only avak ribis and it's not yotzi b'dayanim. Chena marava ki avak ribis haveni as b'dayanim. That it's only avak ribis, it's not yotzi b'dayanim. Amalei abai l'rabba mashkanta mai. What if it were a situation of a mashkon? Says Rashi, mashkin lo soda v'lo cuts imolech al peros l'shem ribis el stam v'yar v'yasav v'achel. I give you a field as a mashkon. We never make a deal that you're supposed to eat the peros and that you get the peros as ribis for the loan, right? You lend me $1,000. I say, okay, until I pay you back $1,000, hang on to this field. I never tell you that you should eat the peros of each and every year, and that will be part of your payment, or that will be in addition to your payment. So we never establish that as ktsitsa for ribis, as being as determining that that's the price of the ribis. So what's the din? Do we say hasam time in my mishum to lo katzle hachanami lo katzle odilma hasam zvini hachalva? Do we say that? When do we say that it's only avak ribis when you weren't kotzitz, when you, and over here also you never set a determined amount? So therefore, it's only avak ribis. Or maybe you're going to say, no, over here it's much worse, because over here it was a loan, it wasn't a sale. Meaning by the case of the woman where she sent the guy to buy her son, to buy the field, so it was a sale. So that's why it's only avak ribis, because it wasn't on a loan, it was on a sale. But over here it's on a loan, and therefore maybe it shouldn't be avak ribis, it should be mamish ribis. So I'm like, hasam time mishum de lakatzle, hachanami lakatzle. No, either one is a good enough reason to turn it into only avak ribis, if it were a sale, but also forgetting the fact that it's not, in this case, it's not a sale, it's a loan, but since you were never kotze, it's a specific amount, so that alone makes it that it's not ribis gemura, it's only avak ribis, and therefore it's not yotzi b'dayanim. Amar Rav Papi, Avid Ravina uvda v'chash v'apik peri delok rabba baravuna. Ravina paskin against Rabba Baravuna. He made the guy pay back the peros. He considered it to be real ribis, not avak ribis. Amar Marbarid Rav Yosef Mishmei de Rava. Hamashkanta ba'asur de misalki. That in a place where the rule is that if I give you a piece of land and I tell you hang on to it until I pay you back the loan, right? So, or until X amount of time, when the loan is due, let's say the loan is due in 1 year from now. So if the minig of that place is that I can come to you in 6 months from now, way before the loan is due, and say, you know what, I'm paying back now, now give me back my field. And I have the right to demand my field back because I choose to pay back early. If that happens to be the minig of the place, right? It's an asra de misalki. So achol shir zuzei misalkin alei. As soon as you ate enough fruits from my land that equal the value of the loan, I don't have to pay back anything. If 3 months into it you've eaten $1,000 and the loan was for $1,000, I can come over to you and say, okay, time's up. That was your $1,000. Now give me back my land, and I can get the land back. But if you ate more than that, I can't take back that extra amount. And not only that, that extra amount is not going to go toward other obligations, to pay back other obligations that maybe I have toward you. But when it comes to Yisomim, all the rules are different. We're always, Beis Din is Avi and Shal Yisomim. We always assume that Beis Din is looking out for the best interest of Yisomim. We have a separate rule book for Yisomim. When it comes to Yisomim, Achal Shir Zuzi Misalkin Lei, once he eats the Shir Zuz, the amount that I owe him, so I'm allowed to take the land away from him. Achal Tfei Mafkinun Minei, if he eats more than that, if he eats $2,000 worth of payrolls on $1,000 loan, he owes me $1,000 and I can take that money from him. And Umachashvin Mishtar Lishtara, if I have difficult time getting that money from him, but I owe him $1,000 somewhere else, so that can count toward the $1,000 that I owe him in a different shtar. But now that we said in a regular case where it's not a yosom, that if the guy eats more than the allotted amount, that we don't take the money away from him, so then we should say that even if he only ate the amount of the loan itself, I should not be able to just take my field back without having to pay him. My time or why? Because to remove a guy from a field without paying him, That's like saying that I'm extracting the money from him, that I'm taking back the money from the fruits that he ate. Havi avak ribis, and that's avak ribis. Vavak ribis, ain't it yetzel b'dayanim? And avak ribis, you can't extract, use it with dayanim. There's no, it's usher to do, it's usher to charge avak ribis, but it's not yetzel b'dayanim. Avad Rav Ashi uvda b'yisomim ketanim kigedolim. Rav Ashi paskin the case of yisomim that were ketanim and he treated them like a case of gedolim. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Kigedolim tap Rashi v'yafgav da'achlo shirzuzei lo mesalkin alei the k'savar mechilas achilas navak ribisu vein koch b'dayanim lo tzio. That even though the person who had the field, the lender who was holding onto the field, ate payrolls from the field that equaled the amount of the loan, he didn't throw him off the field because we assume that the tchilas achilas on the fact that he was eating it was avak ribis, and although it's wrong, you're not allowed to do avak ribis, but you can't be motzi b'dayanim, and therefore you can't throw him off. Amar Rava Breid Rav Yosef Mishmei de Rava, hay mashkanta ba'asru de mesalki lo nechol el ben achiyasa. When you have a field as a mashkon, in a place where the minig is, that if I pay up my loan early, I can take away the mashkon field from you early, meaning again, the same case, the place where the minig is, that if I give you a field for a year, and I say, good, the loan will be due in a year, and that's when I want my field back, I'm going to pay you back the loan in a year, and I'll get my field back, I can come to you 6 months into it and say, I'm paying back now, I want my field. So how do we view the payrolls that are being eaten during that time? So we assume that you can set up the deal that it's menachem menachov, that I can say, look, I'm going to be eating the payrolls of this field each month. So let's assume each month that I eat the payrolls of this field will knock off another $50 from the chov. So it started as a $1,000 chov. After 1 month, it will be $950 chov because I'll eat the payrolls. After 2 months, it will be $900 chov. Not that we're going to measure and count all the payrolls, but that we're going to set a certain amount for each month's worth of achilas payrolls. We're going to knock off a certain amount from the chov. So you're allowed to do that. But v'tzur b'mid rabbanan afilu b'nachyasa lo nechul. But if you're a tzur b'mid rabbanan, you shouldn't even do that. Even that smells a little too much of ribis. Even that looks a little too close to ribis. So if it's tzur b'mid rabbanan, says Rashi, and tzur b'mid rabbanan, shetzorech li yasher drachav uliskadish af b'mutar lo. Rashi says tzur b'mid rabbanan is an extra chiyuv. This is a separate chiyuv in the Torah that a tzur b'mid rabbanan has to do hayasher v'atov. He has to always do the right thing. And he has to be mekadesh b'mutar lo. Rashi is cleverly referencing two separate pesukim in the Torah. The pasuk in the Torah of Asisa Yashav Atov and the pasuk in the Torah of Kedoshim Tiyu. Right, that both of those, in both of those places, the Ramban, interestingly, in both of those places tells us that's a reference to chiyuvim that are beyond what the legal system demands of us. That the Torah says, Ramban writes, for instance, there's no way the Torah can give us every single situation in life that's going to come up and tell us what the proper course of action is in every single situation. It's just impossible. There would be no end to the book. The book would be so voluminous. Torah would be so huge. It would be impossible to come up with every single situation. No book can cover every single situation. So what does the Torah do? It gives us a few general guidelines. Vasisa yashav atov. If this specific situation that you're in is not covered in the Torah, try to think in terms of yashrus and goodness. Try to think in terms of what does God want from you? And probably that will guide you, and that will be a guiding principle, and you'll then know what the right thing to do is. That's the idea of Asisa Yashav Atov, that's the idea of Kedoshim Tiyu. The mitzvah of Asisa Yashav Atov and Kedoshim Tiyu is for all of Klal Yisrael, but most importantly, for Tzur Mirabanan. Because if a person is going to be a religious leader, they have to be so above board, they have to be so much better in terms of their yashrus and in terms of their ethics, because in general, the way it works is, Rav Shatz always likes to say over, that if a rabbi keeps a certain level of observance, so everyone else is going to say, oh, if that's my rabbi and he keeps that level of observance, so rung below is good enough for me. So the rabbi has to be so, the Tzur Mirabanan has to be so above board in the level of ethics so that even the people who follow him are going to be still within the parameters of Asisa Yashav Atov. So Tzur Mirabanan even can't even work out this deal of Nachiasa. El b'may nechul, so how can Tzur Mirabanan ever eat the peros of the field? So says Mara, Bikitsusa, he could do something called a kitsusa. So what is a kitsusa? The Gemara will get to that soon. Hanich leman yemer kitsusa sharia, but before the Gemara gets to that, the Gemara says, wait a second, that only works if you hold kitsusa's mutter. El man yemer kitsusa asira ma'ik lememer, but what do you do if you hold kitsusa as asir? The inmer kitsusa pliga bar ravach of ravina, chadam kitsusa sharia, chadam kitsusa asira, because we know that there's a machlokas whether kitsusa's mutter or kitsusa is asir. So even the idea that Tzurim Rabbanan could eat the fruits using the deal called kitsusa, even that's not so clear. But what in the world does kitsusa mean? Say, hechi dami kitsusa. What is kitsusa? Darmalei ad chamesh shnin achil nala b'lo nachyasa. Kitsusa is that you say, look, for the first 5 years that I have this field, I'll eat from the field without deducting anything from the loan. Mikan ve'elach shemina lach kulupiri. And then after that, we'll go with the actual value of the peros, and we'll deduct the actual value of the peros that I eat from the loan. Ika da amri, kol b'lo nachyasa aser. Others say that no, anytime you don't have nachyasa, you don't have a consistent deduction of the loan from the payrolls, it's going to be aser. Aval hechl dami kitsusa, but what is kitsusa? Da'amrlei ad chamesh shenin achilna b'nachyasa. No, kitsusa has to be with nachyasa, because if there's no nachyasa, it's going to be aser. So kitsusa is that for the first 5 years, we'll be menaka, we'll take off from the chov X amount each month. But when, regardless of how much the payrolls are actually worth, $50 a month, that's how much is coming off the loan. Mikan ve'elach shamina lach kulapiri. And then after 5 years, then we'll actually see how much the fruits are worth that I eat, and that's how much will come off the loan. Manda asr b'kamaisa shari b'basraisa. If you hold that the first way we described kitsusa, where the first 5 years nothing comes off the loan, so if you hold that's asr, then in the second way we described the kitsusa deal would be mutter. Manda asr b'basraisa hechi shari l'mechel. What if you hold that even the second description of kitsusa is asr? Then how would it ever be mutter for a guy to eat, for a tzur mirabanan to eat from the produce? So says Gemara, shari ki meshkanta desura de kasvi bahachi b'mishalim shanya ilin tepuk arada below kesef. The way it would work is using the system of mashkanta desura, where you write in the mashkanta desura that the way the mashkon was given in sura, it was you'd always write as part of the deal that when b'mishalim shanya ilin, when this year is over, tepuk arada below kesef, that this land will be should go back without any kesef, without having to pay any money. So that's the way he's able to eat the peros, as long as you write that text, that lashon, into the shtar. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bredi, Rav Shua, Ami, Travayu, Hai Mashkanta, Ba'asu, De Misalki, Ein Balchov, Gove, Emena. That when you have a mashkon in a place where, again, where you're allowed to take your field back early, if you pay back the loan early, so Balchov cannot be Gove. Let's say I'm holding on to the mashkon, I'm the lender, I lent you $1,000, you gave me the field to hold on to. Now, the halacha is in this place, the system is, you can come to me in 3 months from now, give me my money back, and take the field away from me. At any time, you can come and do that. So since that's the halacha, since that's the minhag in this place, so if I have a balchov that I owe money to, he can't come and take this field from me as his payment, because the field's not really mine. I'm just watching it for somebody else. And if the man who's holding onto the field dies, his son does not get pishnayim b'yerush on this field. Ushvius mishamtasa, and shmita will cancel out the loan. Uba'asu, because the field is not considered payment of the loan, because the guy is always going to be able to take back his field, so the field is not considered as if I have already received payment. But uba'asu delomasalki, but where the guy can't just come and take his field back, so then we're going to view the field as if it's already been considered the payment of the loan. Then balchov goveimenu, and therefore my own balchov can come and collect from it. Ubuchar notel bal pishnayim, my buchar can take a double portion of it. Ve'in shviyus mishamatasa, and shmita won't cancel out the loan because it's as if the loan was already paid back. This mashkon in a place where they're misalik, the person from the field early, you could be misalik him even from the dates that are already on the mats, that are already picked off the trees and are ready to be eaten. But if he had already picked up the dates in his baskets, then he was kona it, and you can't be misalik him from those dates, because that he was already kona. And if you hold the kelim of lokeach in the property of a mocher, the lokeach is able to be kona through his kelim, even though the kelim are resting in the property of the mocher, so then even if the guy didn't pick up the baskets, as long as the dates are in the baskets, he's already been kona it, and you can't take away his dates from him. Okay, we'll pick up from two dots tomorrow.